Today, I want to talk about the gift of loneliness and the gift of solitude, and the way I've seen them in my life, and the way, I suppose really the easiest way of explaining it, the way the needle's completely reversed from pointing out to pointing inwards, and it's a different quality that is completely differently nourished. And I want to share my experience of loneliness and my now experience of moving from the attachment to solving my loneliness to my attachment to solitude. And it seems like there's always a never-ending task of there's more work to be done. And I think I said this on my last podcast, when you get to there's a Zen proverb, when you get to the top of the mountain, keep climbing. And that's so right. And when I read Jack Kornfield's book, first The Ecstasy, then The Laundry, and it's so true. You have this wonderful experience like, oh my God, the ego's not real. I can play with it. I can bring it on. I can take it away. I can see that it's a chim. I can start to recognize that life is a stage that I can play on, just like Shakespeare said, all life is a stage. And then suddenly you're brought back to earth because the washing needs doing 2 hours later. And the problem is we try to re-experience that moment for the rest of our lives, that we had this wonderful moment of, like, I don't know, heart orgasm, or our minds just like just let go. We just stop feeling this tension and this pulling and this relentless strive to be happy. And I'm going slightly off topic now already. The podcast hasn't even really started, but well, it has started. I'm going to thank people at the end. Let's carry on where we're to now. Let's go with the flow and just carry on. My mind now wants to jump to, I'm Stephen and this is Stillness in the Storms, and I'm the podcast host. But anyway, so I remember most of my life feeling quite lonely. And the irony is, the antidote for being lonely is not to be necessarily with people, but it's to be with the right people at the right time, with the right nature. And, you know, it's not necessarily even people. Some people just find people difficult, and they find the antidote to loneliness with horses or their dog or their cat or anything like that. But really, probably the time that I was most alone was in the last 18 months of a relationship I had, which my longest relationship, and I know Emma won't mind me sharing this, Kemba's mum. But we kind of grew apart. I don't know how, I don't know what, I don't know where she was. I don't really know where I was at the time. But even in bed at night, I felt lonely. Even when we were cuddled, I felt lonely. There wasn't that connection. There wasn't that fulfilling of my life at that point. And there's many other times when, even on the mayorship, and especially the mayorship, I suppose, I'd go to a networking event or I'd go somewhere and I would just feel so disconnected in the room. They didn't feel like my people. Did I enjoy being there? Absolutely. Did I enjoy the food? Yes, absolutely. Would I go and do it again? Yeah, absolutely. Probably. Maybe. But it's funny that you can be in a room with the most incredible people. Really high achievers in charities, in all the different things they do. And yet you can still not find that connection that fulfills that loneliness. And it's very much loneliness. I find it's like when they talk about the glass is half full. And I always go, we're arguing about whether the glass is half full or half empty. What's in the glass? And I suppose the analogy of being lonely and loneliness is, you know, how many people are in the room? Is the room half full? Well, you've got to ask yourself, who are the people in your room? Who is the people in your life? And I wrote an article, and I think I've even done a podcast on it. You know, there's a 33% rule. Spend 33% of the time with people that have outgrown you and you can learn something from. 33% of your time with people that you've outgrown that can keep you humble and that you can help grow. And 33% of the time with people that are with you. I'm going to change it to 25% now, actually. Now I might be changing it to 12%. Spend 12.5% of your time with, I'm doing basic maths in my head now. Yeah, my advice now would be 12.5% of the time with people that help you to grow. And these could be people that you don't overly get on with. These could be people that trigger you and things like that. And I would say my council friends, my council members on the council, many of them I get on really brilliantly with. Some of them I struggle with, but they all teach me something. They all pull me forward. They all make me up my argument, which is a gift. So I thank them all for that. And especially in dignitary events and all that, there's one I'm going to in a minute that they will all way outclass me when it comes to achievement and what they've done and all. And it will be uncomfortable. I'm kind of regretting signing up for it, but I'm going anyway. And then 12.5% of the time with people that are just, I don't know, with you, that are like you, your friends, the ones that play the same music that you would turn it off if someone knocked on the door, that you can go to the concerts that you wouldn't put on Facebook because you'd be a bit embarrassed. You know, the ones that laugh at your joke and no one else does in the room. You know, you've got a room full of six people and you tell a joke and you know your friend because they laugh at the joke and everyone else is like, and then you're like, okay. You know exactly the kind of person I mean. They're the mirror of you in a positive way. And, you know, they hold you accountable and all that. And they also drive out the best in you. And then, I don't know, let's add it up. So that's 25%. So spend 25% of your time, I suppose, learning just with yourself and just, I don't know, the maths. I've messed this up completely. Let's forget maths for a minute. Let's just move on to spend some time with the people that will pull you forward. Spend some time of your time helping people, moving them forward, picking them up, helping in your community, whatever you do, whether it's just picking up litter with a group or something like that, just whatever you're doing, even if it's just helping a family member or anything, spend some time doing that. I don't know what time you're going to spend co-work at the moment. I haven't factored that one in, okay? Maybe this is the percentage of time that you're not working, which is about 2 minutes a day at the moment. But anyway, then we're left with 50% that doesn't exist anymore because we're all working 12 jobs. The other 50%, I should have said, wrote this out before the podcast, shouldn't I? Spend in solitude. Spend with yourself in meditation. Sit next to a river. Wake up early in the morning and just sit. Daydream if you want to. Look at a spot on the wall and just, yeah, enjoy the spot on the wall. Do a gratitude list. Check in with your body. Hi, feet, how are you doing? It's a wonderful meditation on Inner Peace Meditations podcast for that one. Hi, heart, how are you doing? You know? Just check in, because your body's screaming and shouting at you. I was going to do the podcast today on we need to listen to our body more often, but I've decided this one because I've really realized the difference in me going from feeling lonely a lot of the time, and that's okay. And I'll give you a recommendation to do in a minute that'll help you if you're feeling lonely a lot of the time. It's a wonderful meditation that you can do. And it really does help to snap you out of it, but also not labeling loneliness as a bad thing, because it's not a bad thing. It's a way of your heart needs to open to the fact that you have people to miss. That's wonderful. That's love. That's, I suppose, a mild grieving, because if you never felt lonely in life, that meant you never had anybody or anything. You never had a connection. So loneliness is not a bad thing. It's only if it controls you, it's a bad thing. Or an unhealthy thing, should I say. It's no good or bad. practice what I invite people is always healthy or unhealthy. But solitude, that's a different story. And I think it was Ken Wilber that says, you know, somebody said to him, "What? How do we know the spiritual journey is working?" And he went, "Well, a lot less people will understand you. You'll spend more time alone. And if you thought trying to get a date before or trying to find a partner before your spiritual journey, try it now. And you'll find it's even more difficult because you love your time alone. But you're not alone. You realize everybody's there with you equally. So's the squirrels and the river and the thing." And I have a problem with this at the moment. I'm getting so attached to this alone. I'll go out in my wheelchair now and go for a drive. And I'm like, right, I'm going to go live and I'm going to interact with people. I'm going to do that. And I miss you guys online. I love going live. I love doing that. But boy, do I enjoy just walking. Just, yeah, enjoying watching the river and listening and just driving somewhere, not thinking, not feeling like I've got to live up to something, not feel like I've got to be a performing monkey. I'm not saying that's me projecting. I'm not saying any of you are suggesting that I should be. But sometimes I feel like I've got to come up with this deep, profound way of helping. And I don't know how to help you. You've got it all inside of you. I'll put a link underneath this podcast to my Stillness in the Storms course. And that course doesn't teach you anything that you don't already know. It just brings back everything that we lost as we grew up. And what the course will do, it's 10 days. It's an audio of every single day. Audio. It's 10 days, an audio on each day. And it just embraces your true self to deal with anything life throws its way at you. Because it will. You know, first the eggs lead in the laundry. This helps you deal with the laundry. Because enlightenment, it comes and goes. It's fleeting. You know, a car chops you up on the road. You go, that's okay. Maybe they were just didn't see me. Maybe they were just having a bad day. And you just give them a little bit of compassion. In that moment, you're the most enlightened being on the road. You're enlightened, right? That's what it means to be enlightened. 4 minutes later, you pull up in a traffic jam and the lights are red. And they turn green and nobody moves and they turn red and you're like, oh, for crying out loud, can't believe what's happening. Then you're not enlightened. So it comes and goes. Every interaction is a possibility of enlightenment in that moment. And if you manage more than about 3 a day, let me know how. Because you're doing better than me and most people. It's really difficult. See, enlightenment also is the needle pointing inwards. How do we talk to ourselves? It's almost more important when we are alone, how do we interact with all those voices? You should be doing this, you should be doing that. Why are you doing this? And, you know, and the criticism comes out, and that voice that criticizes everything within you. There it is, loud and clear. How do you answer that voice is so important. You know, embrace it. Go, thank you for pointing that out. But we don't have to do anything with it. How awesome is that? If you just manage that one thing in life from now, that when those voices come up and they scream and shout at you and they argue between each other and the loudest one gets to tell you you're an idiot, you're stupid, you can't do this, or you should have done this better, or you should have said that. If you manage to go, hi, voice, how are you doing today? You may have a point, and thank you for letting me know, and then do nothing. Whoa, that's a game changer. That will change how you respond to nearly all of life. Because if you can do it to your internal voice, you'll be able to do it to the external world as well. Why is it so much more difficult to do the internal world? And I think I'll do a podcast on this because this is really important. The problem is, when we look at the external world, we judge it so based on no dev. We don't know what the person did around the corner. We don't know their real life story. We don't know collectively what all these stories and all that are. But what we do know is everything that's gone on within us. We know our whole story. We know our background. You know, we know whether we think we're genuine or not. When you say, I love you, you've got a voice inside of you that questions those things. And that's okay. When you're really nice to someone, you open the door for them and they go, thank you, you're a lovely person. A voice comes in, like, no, you're not. Remember what you did in your 20s. It's like, oh, it's tiring. So if you can learn in solitude, just take your time out and not engage with that conversation, but be aware of that conversation. And then you can do it in amongst people. I don't know if this podcast has ended up about solitude and loneliness any more than it's turned out to be a rambling on my thoughts, but hopefully that helps. Let me know, do you, as the older you get, the needle for me was always pointed outside. I wanted the world to solve my loneliness. Now the needle is pointed in. I want me to solve my addiction to solitude. And it's balance. I need both. You need both in balance. Like the stick I keep saying about good experiences and bad experiences, or healthy and unhealthy. We're trying to get rid of the unhealthy, the bad. We try to get rid of the loneliness. No, don't get rid of the loneliness, because if you're feeling lonely, you know you've got something to look forward to. You've got something else in life. You're recognizing that there is a connection, there is a nourishment to be had. And I promise you that I would give you an exercise that really, really helps with loneliness. And this exercise is just, when you feel really lonely, wherever you're to, whether you're sat in the car, whether you're sat watching your telly, or waking up in the morning, or last thing at night, which is the normal time we're feeling lonely. That's why we pick up the phone and we message four people on Messenger. We check in and see how people are doing. And we're going through the phone and we're sliding through all the phone and seeing what friends are online. Hey, how are you doing? And all that, because we're feeling a bit lonely. We want to know someone else is there. Or we put on some music and, you know, some sad music and all that, which is not a problem either, because I like sad music when I'm feeling sad, because it brings out my sadness and I cry and I feel even better. But I go off on a tangent. Right, exercise when you're feeling lonely. Just sit on the edge of the bed, sit in the chair you're in, lie in bed or whatever. And just to bring your attention to your breath. And imagine a world full of people. And then imagine zooming out from it and going further and further away. And you're now outside of the solar system. You're now zooming out further. And it's getting darker. And all you can see is the whole of the galaxy. And then you're zooming out forever and you see the whole of the universe. And you're just there floating. And imagine there's nothing left. There's no trees, there's no animals, there's no universe, there's no planets. Nothing. Just you. Nothing else there. And what your ego would do after about 2 or 3 minutes would go, yeah, I'm not really that lonely. And it will start automatically reeling in and going closer to the earth and all that. And it will suddenly start reminding you of all the friends you do have, all the friends you had, all the events you've got coming up, all the different things that you do, whether you're not, you have family or you go to different things. Suddenly you'll be reminded of all of those things. And suddenly the ego will be, right, I'm bored with being lonely now. I'm done with that. And you realize it's just a temporary feeling. Loneliness is just a temporary feeling. But you're not actually that. This is where I say, does that make sense? I realize how much I say that. Really, I'm asking myself whether it makes sense in my head, what I'm saying. But there's my podcast for today. Solitude and loneliness. You know, the differences, and shared a couple of my stories. And it'd be really lovely. Email me, contact me. Go to stephenwebb.uk and tell me some of your stories. Do you see the difference? Does it change in your life as your spiritual journey goes on? Do you find yourself becoming more lonely but enjoying it more? Are you replacing that loneliness with a feeling of attachment to being alone, in solitude? I know I am, which means more work. Thank you to anybody that's donated this week. You guys are awesome. I want to say a big shout out to Rachel, Mandy, Kelly, Kathy, Peter and Katie. Thank you very much. You mean the world to me and everybody else on this podcast, because your donations help to pay for it and help it to keep going. So I'm deeply, deeply grateful to you. Have an amazing week, and choose loneliness or choose solitude. And there's a definite difference between the two. Take care. And I love you.